Welcome to the program. I'm your host, Skylar Smith, and this is How About Them Chiefs. But first, a word from our sponsor.
Thanks for joining the program, Chief fans. I'm your host, Skylar Smith, and this is How About Them Chiefs. The Chiefs are 5-1 after dominating the Buffalo Bills on Monday night with that running attack. Andy Reid ran the ball 46 times. That's something he's never done before as an NFL coach for the Kansas City Chiefs. Definitely showed the Chiefs now have a well-round offense. Even with offensive linemen that are out of the lineup, we had plugged in other players in and still dominated the Buffalo Bills, who are known for good run defense, especially at Buffalo. I know weather has something to do with it, the rain, but running the ball 46 times just showed a point that Andy Reid's willing to change his offense around if everyone's willing to throw 8-10 people down the field to stop this passing attack. I am so excited now to see that Le'Veon Bell's going to be in the mix and see how defenses now decide, what are they going to do? Are they going to put 8 men in the box and have Mahomes throw you down deep with Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, Sammy Watkins? Or now are you going to put only 4 down linemen rushing us and let us run the ball with you with CEH or Le'Veon Bell? I mean, it's something to see, looking forward to the rest of the year, and I can't wait. But now I want to talk about the upcoming matchup against the Denver Broncos, another hated rival that I can't stand losing to. A good friend of mine, the diehard Bronco fan, we'll go ahead and give him a call, and we'll talk about this upcoming matchup, our expectations and score predictions. I hope you enjoy. Thanks for joining the program, everyone. I'm your host, Skylar Smith, and once again, this is How About Them Chiefs. And today, I have a special guest who's a diehard Bronco fan, my friend Greg. And I want to say, Greg, thanks for joining the show.
Thanks for welcoming me to the pod, Skylar. Appreciate being back.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a while. I haven't talked to you in a little bit. But, you know, looking at the Broncos, you guys literally stacking up the IR. How is that feeling for you? I know it's kind of brutal.
You know, it kind of reminds me a lot of my fantasies team season this year. It's parallels on both ends. It's been rough, man. I mean, to be 100% honest, as I said in like our kind of preseason opener pod with everyone else with the AFC West, I think 7 outside looking in, but I mean, honestly, AFC West is one of the toughest conferences in football right now. If Denver was in the NFC East, we'd be in first place. So, I mean, looking at scheduling and breakdowns like that. So, I don't know, man. I mean, we're going into it with a young quarterback. We got a bunch of young weapons. It's just frustrating, I guess, is the best word to describe it. Because there is, I think, a lot this team. I think we're maybe just a year away if we can get some breaks and try to at least finish the season on a healthy note if the NFL finishes their season with all the violations that are coming down with the COVID mandates and people getting fined on it. So,
yeah, I mean, definitely it's been a weird 2020 year. I have to say the Broncos, I mean, you guys were 2-3 in the year. You guys beat the Patriots just recently, and I honestly – it was what, all field goals? Like, I honestly, when I was watching the highlights watching the back and forth of the game and seeing that you guys are beating the Patriots, I was like, this is awesome. But I did not think you guys would win just with field goals. I mean, your defense is definitely doing well. Like, I know you guys have a lot of people gone, but at the same time, you guys are still top 15, I would say,
yeah.
Overall.
No, for sure.
At that. So, and I really think that might be something to look into this game because the Chiefs play the Broncos and, I mean, we're supposed to play in a snow game. I know last time there was a snow game, the Chiefs won, but it's a totally different team this year and compared to last year for Denver. I mean, Drew Locke, I think he's your guy. I really do think he's a good quarterback. I just think he makes some rookie mistakes here and there. I mean, last game I know against the Patriots, he kind of forced some stuff and threw an interception when you guys were trying to close out the game. Made it a little more interesting. Patriots coming back, but at the same time, you guys still won. So, I mean – running the ball, I feel like you got Lindsey still doing the ball. I know Melvin Gordon, is he still out because of the whole, what was it, the DUI incident?
Yeah, he is active for the game. So
okay,
it was nice to see Lindsey kind of come back and have, I would say, a rebound game after being injured for the majority of the season. It'll be interesting to see the way how they divide the backfield. I'm wondering if it's going to be similar to something kind of like running back by committee. Similar to how Baltimore's been handling it with their 3 running backs, or if it's just going to be Gordon getting the share of it. Royce Freeman was actually having a pretty decent season as
kind of the backup. But with Lindsey Beck, I mean, you have a Pro Bowler behind another Pro Bowler. So it's kind of like one of those embarrassment for riches. But at the same time, we can't stay healthy. To kind of go back to your previous point on quarterbacks, I think Locke has the opportunity to be the quarterback of the future. I think one thing that they're able to decide in the first five games of the season is they know that Jeff Driscoll and Brett Rippon are not the quarterbacks for the future on this team.
Hey, but I have to say they did pretty well when they played. Who was the one that played against the Steelers? I thought he was throwing the ball over the yard. I thought he did pretty decent. I mean, to be honest. I mean, you guys have so many injuries and your receiver. No one's been healthy altogether, so you still haven't seen it. And Drew Locke's how many starts has Drew Locke had technically? Like, he hasn't had 10 starts yet, right? I mean, he only started a couple games last year, so you still got some time.
Oh yeah.
I still think it'll be good to see him. Like, I still think he's better. It'll be interesting because him and I think Herbert and, you know, obviously Mahomes, but I mean, like, it's going to be fun to watch the AFC West for a while, to put it that way.
And I think a lot of people, the Raiders too. I mean,
oh yeah.
Derek Carr, he's not a quarterback, but Raider Nation always has a tendency to kind of jump down his throat. And especially when they brought in Mariota in the offseason, I think that kind of maybe gave him a little bit of kick in the ass that he needed. But, I mean, he's not a bad quarterback at all.
No, but he's one that, you know, he definitely showed it when we played against him. I can't stand losing to the Raiders than any other team in the NFL. But, you know, we had to lose one, I guess, eventually. And it just happened to be at home against the Raiders. And Derek Carr, I mean, when he has time, and his receivers are wide open like they were in the Chiefs game. I mean, like, he's there. I mean, he makes good throws, but when he's under pressure, he does make some type of mistakes. That's why I think people say he folds under pressure, but I think it's a little different when you have, like, too much pressure on your face, and it's a little different when you got 300-pound guys running and knocking you down, and you're supposed to make a throw down the field like a dime, and your receivers are running the wrong route or whatever. There's a lot to do it to more than just the quarterback. So I think Raider fans just, you know, are expecting a lot more because they just, you know, you've been so garbage in the AFC West for a while. I mean, look, the Chiefs, what, I think they're 29-3 or something like that, 28-3, whatever it is, the record in the AFC West. I mean, that just says enough that everyone hasn't been winning in the AFC West. I mean, compared to the Chiefs lately. But, you know, a lot's going to change. I mean, this year, the Raiders beat us once, so I have to tip my hat off to them. So I can't really, even though I hate them, but, you know, they did beat us. So it is what it is.
Yeah, no, and there's a lot of for the AFC this year, too. And somewhere to the end, could get three teams in. Kansas City, obviously, probably walking away with the conference. But I think the Raiders can get in, and if Denver can get healthy or stay healthy, I mean, we've been competitive in every single game this season except against the Buccaneers. Opening week, 2 points down to the Titans. The Steelers game, some injuries in it. The Buccaneers, I mean, it is what it is. That was kind of their first game that they actually started clicking together as a team. And then, like you just said, last weekend we beat the Patriots on, six field goals?
McManus, right?
Yeah,
dude. I mean, he nailed it everywhere.
Every single time, man. I mean, he was clutch, dude. He had goals over 50 yards and a couple over 40. So it's, I don't know. I mean, special teams aren't dead, man. And special teams can definitely, just as defenses can win championships, special teams can definitely win you games too. So,
I mean, looking at this right now, I was looking at the comparisons to the Chiefs and Broncos. Like, I think you guys are, let's see here, total yards are 29th. We got to remember you guys had a lot of injuries. You're 25th in rushing and 27th in passing. So you're definitely towards the bottom, but, you know, a lot of it has to do with injuries. So I really don't look at that. And whenever it's an AFC rival game, the Broncos, we don't do very well against the Broncos usually at Denver. I mean, there's a lot of history that shows you with, you know, John Elway breaking my heart, I don't know how many times. So I always know this to be a tough game and close game. So I expect to be closer than a lot of people are thinking. I think they said there's like a 10-point, 8-point, I think, difference right now so far. But I think it's going to go with a field goal. I mean, what is your expectations for this upcoming game? Like, how Well, all right, I'll put it this way. What do you think defensively, what you guys will do to stop Mahomes and the Chiefs offense?
I mean, can anyone
what do you think they'll try to do?
No, I was just going to say, can anyone out – and I was going to say outside of Baltimore really stop Mahomes on defense? And even, like, the Chiefs have Baltimore's number. Like, and they can't stop him. And Baltimore's arguably the best defense in the entire NFL. I mean, so it's – I don't know if anyone can contain Mahomes. I think it's more shutting down his offensive threats and taking away, his first and second options and making him read through his progressions. But even then, I mean, dude's a stud. Like, he arguably should have won MVP last year. MVP this year. I mean, he's a stud, man. I don't think anyone can stop him. He's playing out his mind. So,
yeah, I know I'm biased because I'm a Chief fan and I think he is the best. But you know, looking at Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers, anything else, their numbers, and I really think it's hard to believe that Russell Wilson still has an MVP. And I think this might be the year if he keeps throwing the numbers he is and they keep winning. But I think. This game, though, I'm really curious to see what Denver does because you guys have a strong defense. And what the Bills did last game, which kind of shocked, I guess, a lot of people, was just like they and like the Patriots did, too, is where they only rush three, maybe four people and drop everyone back.
Right.
And the Bills kept doing it no matter what. And Mahomes and Andy Reid finally was like, you know what, let's try running the ball in this. And I've never seen Andy Reid run the ball that many times. I mean, they were getting like 8 yards a carry, I think, at one point. I mean, ran the ball 47 times. It was like a smash-mouth football, basically, just like, you know. And we had like a backup lineman, too, blocking, making pancakes everywhere. And I think Aitman was even saying that, Trey Aitman, during the game. But, like, and even I think it was at the very end of the game, McDermott was saying, the Bills coach, saying, you know, well, I'll take that because I'm not going to let Mahomes beat us throwing the ball all of the yard. That was,
not.
Like,
yeah.
The game plan. And so it's one thing to do, but like now you have that running back McGlair, you know, we have our CEH, our stud running back we have Le'Veon Bell.
That's what
and now we have Le'Veon Bell coming in now. So
how,
now it's like,
how do you think the Chiefs are going to incorporate
stop this?
Well, my question is, how do you think the Chiefs are going to incorporate Le'Veon Bell into the lineup? Do you think Edwards-Helaire is going to still be the number one back, or you think he'll start to take kind of more of a secondary role?
I think first game, I think CEH will still be the lead guy. And I think eventually they're going to kind of maybe go 50-50 or whatever. It just depends on the game plan, I really think, for Andy Reid. Because even we had Damian Williams as our running back, and he opted out this year. He only ran for like 500 yards. I think it was total. I think already right now, CH already has more yards for the whole season. So like he likes to split people up. So it's just something that Andy Reid does. But I think Le'Veon Bell and I think CH will be in the backfield quite a bit, like together, and have them either Le'Veon Bell split out for receiver because he likes to catch the ball out, you know. So I'm really curious to see how that works too. Like I know a lot of Chiefs fans are too, because I know at first everyone was not really. Some people weren't thrilled because, like, why are we getting him? We have CEH. It's going to ruin his confidence and all that stuff. But I think it's good thing.
CEH only has one.
How
CEH only has one rushing touchdown for y'all this season. And it was in the first game.
Right.
Like, he has not been able to break the end zone. And he's been getting his goal line opportunities, too.
And he's had opportunities, like you said. And then also, too, he had a screen for a touchdown that got called back for a penalty.
Right.
He also, I think, had another rushing touchdown beginning of the year that got called back for a penalty, too. So it's one thing I've noticed, and this has been for a while, even when we had Mahomes, is that we haven't had a guy that could just, like, go through the pile. Like, we had Marcus Allen jump over the top back in the day, or Priest Holmes jumping over the top just to get in the end zone. Like, we really struggle when it's goal line offense, like, when we're trying to smash it in. Like, we just don't have that back. I mean, we had Darrell Williams, who is still a good running back, 31 on our team, but they don't really give him enough opportunities. I don't know why. He's, like, our only bullnose, I guess you'd say, downhill runner. Other than that, everyone's like a flashy, you know, make you miss kind of running back. There's no one's like a, you know, run you over.
I really like how you used Mr. Raider Marcus Allen as one of your examples.
Hey, he's the most famous running back, if you think about it, just getting 2 yards and just jumping over the pile. Like, I think he really started, like, for me, watching football as a kid, I remember him just jumping over the top. It seemed like no matter what, he's going to get it, even when he was the Raiders or the Chiefs. I mean, for how old he was, still running the ball for the Chiefs back in the day, I mean, and still being successful, it just blows my mind. But I just think that with Le'Veon Bell now in the mix, it's going to be interesting. I really do hope that they split some time, but I think originally CEH is probably going to take over for a little bit, and then we'll see what Le'Veon Bell does in the mix. I think we'll use Le'Veon Bell a lot in the passing game for sure, because he's really effective that way. Because CEH was surprising me, like, so much that Andy really likes to do is a lot of screens to running backs, and he hasn't really done a whole lot to CEH. He's only did it a couple times, and so I don't know if it's like a playbook issue or what, but I'm curious to see what's going to happen, especially this Sunday, if it's going to be a lot of snow, short passes, I think. I know I'm really curious to see how that's going to happen. But now, changing on the side, what do you think Denver is going to do offensively against the Chiefs?
That's a great question, my man. I mean, this is one of the first games where folks have been healthy. So, I mean,
right.
Realistically, and this is not me being like funny or anything, honestly, I think it's just an injury-free game. Like, I think last week getting through the Patriots and getting that win, even though it was mostly through special teams, I think protecting Locke a little bit more is, you're going to see that a lot. I mean, Lindsey had, what, 23 carries last week? So I think they're going to do a mix of trying to protect him a little bit more. Him being Locke, split time between Lindsey and Gordon in the backfield. And I would just say try to get Locke kind of going. So I would say expect a lot of, like, checkdowns. Let's see him reading through his progressions. One thing that shocked me watching last week's game is Philip Lindsay didn't have a single reception last week. And similar to how you were saying, like, Clyde, for you all, hasn't really been checked down to that much. It's the same thing with Lindsay. I mean, he's one of those backs where you expect him to get 40, 50 receptions in a season. And for him to get 23 carries and be on that field that much as the number one option and does not have a, have very, very low targets last week was kind of surprising. So I think getting the entire offense involved will be kind of a big thing, but protecting Locke, I think, is going to be kind of their biggest priority.
Yeah. Cause I know last time we played, Kansas City played the Denver Broncos. I know we had Locke a couple times sacking everything else, but I think you guys are going to try running the ball on this because that's our weak point still. I mean, we're at 28th in the defense on against the rush. So I think if you guys can start get running the ball effectively and trying to control the clock is probably your best bet. And I know your defense will play stout. So I'm kind of looking to see if you guys run the ball more. And now the snow game too, like anything goes. I don't know how bad the weather's going to be, but I know last time we had the snow game, you know, Mahomes threw the ball over the place, and I was actually kind of shocked because thinking when it's snowing so much, I didn't think we were going to throw the ball so much that game. But I think it'd be really – I'm like, I don't know what offense is going to show up. Let's put it that way for the Chiefs, though, too. Like, I don't know if we're going to try to come out running the ball like crazy again or we're going to throw the ball over the place. So it's going to be interesting.
I think this is one of those games where it's like expect the unexpected on both sides because looking how Kansas City utilizes their backs. I mean, you know it's going to be a lock that Kelsey's going to get a touchdown. I mean, he's averaging a scoring game. Dude's a stud. Like, there's no other way around it. But, I mean, seeing how – I mean, realistically, how the running game progresses on both sides, because this is the first time kind of all season where it's – I mean, Clyde can easily be a Pro Bowler for you guys this year. Easily. I mean, he's second league in rushing right now behind Derrick Henry, who had a monster game last week. Oh, did you see him, his stiff arm?
Oh, yeah.
Like when that got called back, I was like, oh no, like that was such a, just a boss move. But I don't know. I mean, it'll be interesting to see kind of how both teams decide to utilize their running game. I think that you're going to see a lot, and that's honestly, I think going to be the primary focus for both teams this week. But I'd say also expect the unexpected because you guys are working in a new back. We're working in both of our lead backs being on together in the same game, uninjured and healthy for the first time all season. So it's going to be interesting, I would say, kind of to see how they utilize that moving forward on both ends. It'll be fun, though.
Yeah, I think it's always going to be a close game and everybody. So if you had to pick, what is your score prediction, I guess I'd say, then, for this upcoming game on Sunday?
5-2. I think it's going to be a safety on both ends and a field goal.
All right.
In all seriousness, I would say kind of what you were saying, kind of expect the unexpected. I think it's going to be it really depends on how much snow. But I think
right.
I don't know. Just throw a number out there, not reading the forecast recently, but we'll go 17-14, and I would say it's going to be the Broncos on top. Skyler, I'm going to pull an upset. Arrowhead.
Oh, nice, nice. Well, I mean, I'd be really shocked. I'd be actually kind of mad at you if you didn't pick your team. I don't care, I guess. But I think it's going to be like the same, like you said. I think it's going to be down to the wire. I think it's going to come down to the field goal or so. And depending on, like, you know, I'm really curious looking at, like, most football games, I guess. It's fourth and short, you know, third and one, you know, what the decisions are going to be and who's going to win, you know, up front. And I think that's really what's going to come out of this game, especially if the weather comes into big factor. Because I know the Bills and Chiefs game, I mean, it was raining and it was becoming a little factor there. I know rain's a little different than snow when you're throwing the ball around, but still, like, that game right away, everyone abandoned the pass for the Chiefs, and we kept on getting, you know, 8 yards of carry. So let's just keep doing it, not broken, just keep going, you know. And so I think this game, I think it's gonna be 21-17. I think the Chiefs will win. It's gonna be a close one. I know they're probably gonna give me a heart attack halfway through the game, probably losing, because we always do that. I don't know, for some reason, like, we'll be down 10-0 or, you know, in the game to begin with, but I think ultimately they'll come around, and I think we'll finish off the Broncos.
So do you think Butker's going to miss a field goal in the game? What's the over-under that you have
know,
on that?
I mean, you know, everyone keeps giving me crap about him, but you know what? He nailed 58-yarders 3 times. So, I mean, when it counts, when he really needs it, he'll hit it. I don't know, but I don't know if it's something in his head or what it is, but, you know, I have to throw out this new thing out too. We have a new holder. Yeah, I remember. We have Tommy T. Townsend is our new holder, long hair punter. And I don't know if maybe it's the hold. Well, I don't know. But it looked like they're every time they look good, he just hooks it.
Ray Finkel blamed Dan Marino, too, for not having laces out, Skyler. So,
you know, maybe that's why, you know, laces were not out. I have no idea. It's just one of those things. But I know he missed three consecutive extra points, I think, now in the games he's missed. But thank God it hasn't been to the point where we're going to lose the game because of it. So I'm hoping – and I made a podcast about it. Like, I think he's the best kicker in the game. Then he misses all these extra points. So that kind of made me look bad. But, you know, I'll stick with Butker. You know, I mean, the fact that he kicked a 58-yarder and, you know, 3 times, you know, that's pretty impressive. And I know Justin Tucker's another one. It's a good kicker. I always like your kicker at Denver, though, too. I think he had some issues giving him a hard time. I think it was last year, bringing kicker for competition for him. But I think he was injured,
like,
too.
It was like Tennessee with Gostkowski, right? I mean, arguably one of the greatest kickers in the history of the game. And he had not the best opening game. What, he missed like 2 or 3? And, like, Tennessee fans were writing him so hard. Like, oh, we got to cut him. It's like, dude, just settle down. It's his first game in the Owls uniforms. Like, he's used to kicking indoors. He hasn't kicked outdoors like this in a while. Just give him a little bit of a break. You were saying that you had a special podcast on Butker. Can we now shift this one into how do you think Travis Kelce is the best tight end in the game? And hopefully he has, like, 7 or 8 drops and –
oh yeah, I mean I think him and Kittle I think are up there, but you know your Bronco tight end's not too bad though.
Is Fant,
or Fant? I can't never say his name same. I mean, when he's healthy and Drew Lock likes his target, and I think he's gonna be ready for the Sunday. So, but yeah, I think Kelce, him and Mahomes have a good chemistry, like most tight end quarterback combination, I guess. And just, you know, they threw some stats up the other day, like I forget how many touchdowns they have together, but. I just think that he just knows where to fit in the zone, and when it's cover 2 and he does a little dig route, he just fits right in the zone and Mahomes finds him. And it just I think the one team though he does struggle with, I'll admit this, is against the Patriots. I know, isn't that your wife's favorite team, by the way?
It is.
For a second. So how has it been this last week? I forgot to ask you that when we started this off. I know you guys beat the Patriots, so has there been any household ruffling going around because of this?
Or is she a little
shit talking all year long right now? Or
I try not to do that because my team's lost the most Super Bowls out of any team. So like I also know like where I stand like within like the sports hierarchy. I mean, her being from New England and being like an everything Boston fan, dude, as much as it's gonna pain me to say this, but it's Titletown USA, right? I mean, they just rock it. But New England's been different to watch this year. They watching Cam try to progress and running a completely different offense. It's going to be interesting to see if New England misses out in the playoffs this year and if Tampa makes it. The whole, we knew Brady was the better like person who made Belichick's engine run. Why can't they both be great? Like, I mean, why can't the argument just be it's like,
yeah,
he's arguably the greatest head coach of all time. He's arguably the greatest quarterback of all time. And they did really cool shit together. Like, why can't that be the conversation? But no, we have to stir controversy. So
no, they always gotta find something bad in controversy. The one thing that's always gonna happen with them though too is this whole Spygate thing, the whole video camera and all that. So that's always gonna lurk around, and you know him, Belichick also making a decision to be benching what was their best corner at the time. I forget his name. You know, and now he's playing for the Titans. I don't know. It's just Belichick. I hate him, but he, you know, his interviews are just hilarious. Like, I don't know how the media even deals with questioning him. Like, what's the point anymore? But, you know, he's got the wins, he got the titles. You know, until someone else beats him, you can't say anything. And that's why, like, when we played him this year, even though we didn't have Cam Newton,
right,
look how far they stayed with us, the Patriots. I mean, you put in three different quarter, you know, and you still hung around with us, and you didn't even have like a couple of your running backs. I think Deion Lewis was out, anything else, and his dad just passed away. So it's like you had to like practice squad running back running all over the Chiefs and doing well. So and his defense, no matter whom he plugs in, I mean, he's missing people, they still did well. I mean, Mahomes, I think he didn't have to throw a touchdown in the first till like the third or fourth quarter, I think it was, like the first half again. So I mean, it's the only time that's happened to Mahomes, I think, three times now in his career, and it's always against the Patriots. So it's just something that Belichick just has his ways with his defense and getting his scheme going. And I think now everyone's kind of watched that and kind of use that scheme against the Chiefs again, because like Chargers did it, rushing four people, and almost shocked us. And we came back and won then because the Chargers are the Chargers. They got to choke again eventually. You know, Herbert is going to be a good quarterback. I will admit that. He's going to be good. And, you know, but – for some reason, they just can't close it out. I don't know what it is with Chargers.
We've been getting a lot of the Chargers games recently here in Maryland, and I don't know why, but we do. And watching him play, I'm like, this is a very unfair comparison, and I'm not going to make this comparison, but I am at the same time. He reminds me kind of like his poise that he has, his leadership abilities. It reminds me a lot of kind of like Peyton Manning, like early in his career with the Colts, where it's like he comes out in the field and he just has command. I'm really interested in how Tua's going to play, and I was kind of surprised to see Miami pull Fitzmagic this week.
I know, man. Like, broke his heart. I think it was funny that his comment, and he said, "I got fired, and then I had to sit in a 4-hour conference with the person who fired me and the person who's replacing me." I thought it was kind of funny when he said something like that. But, like, yeah, no, like, he was pretty good this year.
I've always been a big fan of his.
They got to move on, I guess. You know, when he played for Tampa and when he threw five touchdown passes, I think it was against the Saints, and he came out wearing DeSean Jackson's clothes. I mean, that just cracked me up. I was like, this guy's hilarious. But then he'll go to a game and he'll throw seven picks. The next game he'll go and throw five touchdowns. Like, he just never – he kind of reminded me of Donovan McNabb in a little way, where, like, he'll have really good great games and have really bad games. So, it just – I don't know.
I like your comparison to the Hall of Fame.
His Fitz Magic's over.
I don't think that's a fair comparison.
I'm not Well, McNabb always reminded me of like having really good games and having bad games. I don't know. It's just something that I saw. I'm not saying Fitzmagic's on the same level as Donovan McNabb, but just saying like, there's some games that you're like scratch your head, like, wait, he threw three picks today? So it's just, you know, it's just one of those things. But finally, I wanted to talk about what about now Antonio Brown for the Bucs? Like, are they,
you know, it's, I mean, the they made it work for the one game they played together in New England. He got his touchdown that one game. And I was thinking about that earlier today, where it's just it makes sense. I mean, he's either going to go there or he's going to go to Seattle. So the fact that he wound up back with TB12, it shows there's some chemistry, and it kind of makes me think that it wasn't Tom's decision to let him go in New England, but it was Bill Belichick's decision.
Yeah. I mean, a lot will – I'm going to be really shocked to see how the Bucs, how they work this out now, because there's a lot of receivers they got to feed now the ball around. So depending on how Antonio Brown
takes Evans it, is injured, head Godwin's case injured, or what. So it'll be it'll be interesting. Yeah.
So, well, the first game, I guess. Yeah. Because even Evans has a little of a temper sometimes too, I've noticed on the field. Let's see if he's going to call, he gets a little upset too. But we'll see how that goes. I'm not even looking at the NFC really that much right now. AFC-wise, like, I still think Titans, you know, if you can't stop Henry, they're just going to dominate. Steelers are the team I think really everyone needs to start watching more. I mean, they have now – they're undefeated, right? They have a touchdown, or they have an interception, and I think a touchdown on their defense every game this year. I think a stat that I saw
their rookie day, Claypool's like, oh, really been on me. For the last two games.
I mean, if Big Ben's healthy,
they're a scary team in the AFC. I mean,
oh yeah, because they're the ones that I'm worried about mostly. Because I think teams to beat the Chiefs right now, if everyone's healthy on the Chiefs. Really, to beat them, you have to have the ability to rush only three or four and drop everyone back. And if you have enough pressure on Mahomes with three and four, you're going to win the game. That's just – Mahomes will do his magic, run around and everything else like he did against the Raider game, because the Raiders, they just had our number that game. They just – like anything could go wrong for us basically too, penalties-wise, and just, you know, biting us in the bullet and the foot and everything else. But I know a lot of fans are saying, oh, there was a lot of BS calls, the pass interference call. I'm like, dude. Really, one pass interference call, we shouldn't have been even that close to that game to be, like, losing that bad, to be honest. Like, when you lose – when you drop 40 points on your defense, you should lose the game. Like, I'm sorry. Like, you should not give up 40 points a game and still be able to win the game. So, just – you got to clean that up. And I'm glad that finally against the Bills we did better. I'm hoping this game against Denver we'll be able to keep doing it. But I don't know what else to say, Greg. I know my kids are trying to get in the car right now because I'm in the car.
Take the car, Bill, somewhere. Man.
So I want to say thanks again, man. For doing this.
We'll have to do the rematch. And also
the next matchup.
When the three teams from the AFC West make it in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to happen. I mean, hopefully. I mean, too bad we're not in the NFC, so we can have the, you know, be in the NFC East, I guess. I mean, poor Jets, man. I'm sorry. If you're a Jets fan, I feel so bad for you. You lose everyone who's
they really should never good. Let Fitzpatrick Sam go. Darnold's, like, that's all I'm going
to
say.
You know, I'm throwing to nobody. Oh, man.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me.
Well, anyway, Greg, thanks for doing this. You know, stay safe out there with this whole COVID, everything else going on, and hopefully you guys are staying okay. I'm trying to keep staying with my kids, and I guess apparently might have to start having actually online schooling might end soon. I've been hearing. So
good luck,
we'll
man.
See you in our county. But anyways.
All right. Stay safe.
Yeah. Bye. I'll talk to you later.
Well, thanks for listening, everyone. I hope you enjoyed this podcast episode, and make sure to check in next week. I'll be uploading more episodes. And don't forget, we're on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at How About Them Chiefs. So go check it out. And again, thanks for listening. Go Chiefs.